Thanks for joining us today for Power Walk with Reverend Paul Cannings. Scripture makes it very clear to us that as believers, it's important for us to be a part of the local church, not only for our benefit, but because it's God's organism through which our world can be impacted forever. In today's message titled, The Church, Dr. Cannings lays out for us how a church functions, its purpose, and its responsibility in it. Let's listen.
When I was growing up, I grew up in a family of eight, so it was busy, especially on Saturday mornings. We got up and everyone had a chore. Everyone knew what their responsibilities were. My mom didn't play with a dirty room, so you had to be very structured. So everybody got up, knew what they were supposed to do with their bed, their clothes, and everything else. And, you know, we pretty much had a good system going. And I remember asking my mom when we were sitting back in our later years, I said, Mom, am I dreaming this stuff up? And I says, no, y'all pretty much got into the routine and we got this thing worked out. You know, it's funny because up to today, I struggle with cooking because with four girls and a mom, we didn't get in the kitchen that often. I didn't complain. I liked what came out of the kitchen. You know, that made me somewhat complacent about going in there until I got to college and had to scramble for myself in my apartment. So I had these responsibilities. But one thing that I loved about our family was everybody carrying out their responsibilities complemented one another. And even though, you know, sibling rivalry or sibling fussing may take place from time to time, I never forget how we were so synchronized most of the time that we were able to play. And that was the whole motivation of everything. Because our friends around the houses surrounding our house, they had the same kind of structure. So we all knew when everybody was done because people were just sitting on one person's step or they were sitting on the front of the house there. Because I grew up until I was 15 years of age in Guyana, South America. So sometimes they would sit on the bridge. There was a little gutter in front of the house and they'd sit on the bridge there. Our yard, they called it the ranch. I mean, that's what they call our house. Not because it was a big yard. It's just because there was so much that we did in our yard. We played cricket in our yard, for those who are Caribbeans, but played cricket in our yard. We played table tennis in our yard. So we had the swing onto the yard. So we had all these different things that we would do because the house was built off the ground, because in Guyana, it floods. So it was built off the ground. So we had all these different things taking place in our yard. So people tend to come to our yard. We would go out and buy these huge cans of crackers. We didn't know any better. You know, we grew up in a family where eight kids, you learned to share. And if you didn't learn it fast enough, you grew to learn it. So our yard was where people come. So a lot of the guys in the neighborhood, they would run to our yard and they would finish their chores. Or we were sitting there waiting for them to come. But the motivation was in the fun times when parents would just, because thank God in those days, the communities were really safe. Parents would just let the kids out the house. And there's a lot of reasons why I found out, because it kept the house clean when we were all in the yard. So we would play and we'd have a great fun time climbing in fruit trees, and that was our snack. So we just stayed outside and, you know, we were called in for dinner. As a result of that, sitting back and thinking through times that we now have, as sometimes as a family, as we all get older, it's to see the camaraderie and how we work together. It plays out in those times. It becomes stronger in those times because we took the family seriously, whether we wanted to or not. If we had a funny look on our face, that got fixed. If you walk around grumbling, that got changed real quick, and you eventually just had to submit to a process that made for a good family development. Was it perfect? No, because everybody in it is not perfect. But it was a good family because the parents involved functioned with a commitment to make the family productive, to work together cohesively to get us down the road. There's no different within a church. That's the reason why the Bible is saying if a man learns to manage his home, he could be a leader in the church. That's a fundamental thing. If a woman, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, who does well in managing her home, who supports the structure that has been put in place, the managers in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the assistant managers in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And as they work together cohesively and God sees this woman's heart, the Bible says, let her serve in the church in a productive way. You see this with Phoebe in Romans chapter 16, verse 1 through 2. Very productive, very resourceful, helped a whole lot of people to the point where Paul commended her to the church in Rome. So you see the development of this take place out of the family, because the church is the surrogate family. It is a setup to be a family that is designed based on God's influence, God's empowerment, to be what God wants it to be, since that's the only organism that he will impact the world through. He's not doing it through Democrats, Republicans, this organization, that organization, no matter how wonderful they are, no matter how great things they do. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, he says, and hath put all things is all things, under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things, watch the preposition here, to the church, nothing else, to the church, which is his body. He identifies with it, his body. So when we start talking about how the church could be productive, attached to the many parts within the body, we're now into spiritual gifts, because it's a body. It has different parts. It has a brain, has a heart, has lungs, a muscular system. It has a nervous system. It got all these different things that makes the body useful. He's saying the church is a body, and it needs to have the body being productive in order for Christ to be functionally productive on earth. Not, watch this carefully, not that Christ isn't functionally productive, period. He's God, and his very nature is God. His very essence is God. He is always holy. He's always righteous. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, in the very same way God is. So he has the very same nature as God. And when we look at him and we see that, he's saying, that is who I am, but I'm not going to work on earth in a productive and efficient and effective manner in reaching and making changes, especially as the last days go on, until the church let the body become productive, so that the fullness of him fill it all in all. Not going to happen. So the only place, I repeat, that God is committed to for it to be useful and productive and effective in ministering to the world, the community, changing lives, making people stronger, to make it through the journey of life. That's what the word equipped means in Ephesians chapter 4. So people are equipped for whatever journey they have to deal with in life. Matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, he's saying, the word of God will equip the man of God for every good work. Every good work. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he would say that the word of God is able to take care of all that we need in life and godliness. So the Bible is seeing that the word of God, powerful, double-edged sword, can move a person's life in a productive manner, and that word needs to be what's implemented in the process of spiritual gifts, because spiritual gifts is what makes the body useful, productive, and functional on earth. And that's why Paul is saying if the Church of Rome is going to be great, productive, effective, efficient, then they have to stop comparing themselves among themselves, which Paul also tells the church in Corinth to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, for I say, through the grace given unto me and every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, meaning based on the word of God and how the word of God works this out, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. So when we come to this whole issue of a believer becoming productive and the church making an impact, no matter how crazy the world can be, that the church continues to be this powerful force, it has to function based on spiritual gifts, making the body healthy. Because he says it in Ephesians, the only way to fill all in all is through his body, which is the church. So how does this work? He says in verse 5, he says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, is the verse. But it always leads to unity. My Sunday school class has 10 people. They only have 2, so I know God is blessing. No, you're focused on the wrong thing. We talked about this. It has one purpose, because it's just one body. He says this in Ephesians chapter 4. He says in verse 7, matter of fact, it don't hurt to go to verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Unto every one of us, see, back to the diversity, but pushing unity, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everybody is given a gift based on how Christ decided to measure it out. Nobody has the authority to choose a gift. Nobody can pray to gain a gift. Every gift is determined by Jesus Christ. Every gift. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 through 11. Same thing. He gave us this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he's going to hold us accountable as to whether or not we use these gifts when we get to heaven. It's not like we're going to arrive in heaven and go, okay, you know, God, I did the wonderful thing. I went to church. I try to go as often as possible. I gave when I went there, and I served the best way I could based on my time schedule. He's going, okay, wonderful. You made that decision on your own. I saved you. I determine what kind of gift you have. I determine what kind of contribution you're going to make to the body. When I made that decision and you never sought it out, you made a decision as to how you live in heaven, how productive you're going to be in heaven, how it will be measured out to you in heaven. This is what determines your reward system and how you will live in heaven forever. So that's why he's saying, even though it's diverse, it's attached to making one body productive for the agenda of God to spread itself throughout the lives of people who walk through the doors into the community and the world. So when we choose not to be productive, listen to this carefully, folks, even though Christ is all that he is, powerful that he is, mighty that he is, we kill him on earth. Because we choose to make the church a place of where we put our stamp on to make sure that we please God and get to heaven. We don't come to church, like he's saying in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 to 26, with a commitment to provoke one another to love and good deeds, compliment, encourage, strengthen one another to be productive as we see the days drawing near. We just come in to put a little stamp, do a little thing, and go home and live our lives because we are pretty good. We're doing okay. So who measured our success? The world did, not Christ. What point is that? The world is temporal. What do we do for Christ? That is the only thing that lasts. And when we make a healthy church, we make healthy families, keep singles strong, help people who are struggling with depression, because the church is the only place that will lead people to experience Christ powerfully and make a stamp in the community and the world. Stay focused.
As believers, may we also ensure that we are active members of a local church, because it's the organism that Christ impacts the world through. Now, if you'd like to obtain a copy of this message, then please visit us online at powerwalkministries.org. And while you're there, you can also browse through our resources and also learn more about our ministry and how you can be a part of it. You're welcome to call us at area 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. And as we leave you, remember, as a believer, Christ has blessed you with a spiritual gift. If you've not already done so, identify what that is and find a way to use it for the church and for God's glory.